Our reading this evening is taken from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, and verse 40. And with many other words did he, that is Peter, testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. What a wonderful day that was when 3,000 souls were added to the church through one sermon. If there's a title given to this address this evening, it is One Sermon. That one sermon that the Lord blessed and 3,000 souls were added to the church. As we heard earlier, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. The Lord is able to do today what he did in the day of Pentecost. I'm reminded of the account on the island of Skye when a man left home to go up to Uig, and a boat was storm bound in Uig Bay. A missionary was on that boat, and he had got off and began to preach up in Erlish. This man, his name was Donald Munro, he was blind. When blind Donald Munro, he was passing, he heard the preacher and he was gloriously converted. He used to play the fiddle at Cayley's. He threw away his fiddle and began to teach the word of God. And through that, there was a great work of God in the north end of Skye. Roderick MacLeod, who was converted, who ended up the moderator of the Free Church in 1864. He followed Thomas Guthrie as the moderator. And after Roderick MacLeod, Patrick Fairbairn was the moderator. But Roderick MacLeod was himself converted, and it is said that up to 9,000 people came to the Waternoogee Road End to hear the preaching of the word. The Lord is able today to do mighty things. Well, there are 3 points about Peter's sermon here that I want to bring before you. First of all, his sermon was full of the living Christ. You notice that in the sermon, he speaks about Christ risen from the dead. It's the risen Christ. And our sermons may be full of Christ, but is it full of the living Christ? The Christ that will come to a poor man's house and to the and enter into his humble abode and say to him, Hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that loved him, that love him? He can come into the rich man's house and say, Be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. This living Christ will come into the palace and will say to those who are princes and kings, I am the Lord of lords, I am the King of kings. One day you will be brought to give an account before me. He will come to those who are cast down, and as they walk in the road, he will say, What manner of communication are these that ye have one with another as ye walk and are sad? And he will lift up their spirits. They will come that their hearts burn within them as he begins to open unto them on the way the scriptures. And he's the one that will come to all who call upon him. Peter was able to say that whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, rich or poor. We hear today, black lives matter. They don't matter to the Lord Jesus Christ. Black or white, rich or poor, whosoever may come and call upon the name of the Lord, even young people, young and old. I remember when I was young, I used to go to church and I used to look at the glass window that was opposite me in the church, and there were wee small panes. And I would count them one way, I would spend the time counting them another way. Then I'd multiply one by the other, and they always come out the same. It's always the same number of small panes. If I would spend my time looking at these panes of glass. Except when some ministers came, I can remember one young student at the time. His name was Callum Matheson. He used to come to the church, and when he would preach, he made it so plain. Think of how so plain Peter made the sermon, whom being delivered by the determinate counsel of God, whom God hath raised up, you whom he crucified, that same Christ, how plain that even the young could understand. When that Callum Matheson came, I could understand and I would listen. I wouldn't be counting the pains of class that day. Here is a sermon, one sermon, that is full of the living Christ. But secondly, it's full of biblical truth. Think of how there is a promise given to the word of God that's not given to what I say or you say. The word of man will fall to the ground. It will be like the grass that is soon cut down and cast into the oven. But the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. It's able to pierce even to the dividing asunder of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Spurgeon himself came to realize that when at the age of 15 in 1850, he was making his way to church in a snowstorm. He had to take shelter. And he took shelter in a Methodist church. And there was the minister wasn't there that day. And there was a man there. And Spurgeon said he had nothing to say. He had absolutely nothing to say. But he said, I thank God that he had nothing to say. Because all he did was repeat, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none other. He just kept on repeating that text. And the 15-year-old Spurgeon was converted. The Lord applied these words to Spurgeon's heart. You see, the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. And think of how Peter used the word of God in his sermon. He came to Joel, the prophet Joel. He applied David. He went to David and showed how Christ was David's greater son. Peter's sermon is full of biblical truth, and the one sermon that is blessed will be full of biblical truth. But there's a third thing. We can preach as we think, as eloquently and as powerfully as we like, but it needs the blessing of the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul came not with the wisdom of words. He came not with eloquence. But he came in the power of the Spirit. And it was the power of the Spirit that had blessed the word in Peter's sermon to those who were there. They were pierced in their hearts and they cried out, what must we do? Thinking of David Brainerd, for example. David Brainerd in 1745, when the Jacobites were in Scotland, David Brainerd was out among the Indians preaching the gospel. And he had been there from the 6th of August, 7th, 8th of August. And on the 9th of August, he said there were 70 Indians in the room when he was preaching. Many of them had been there the days before. But on the 9th of August, they began to break down one after another. They were weeping and they were mourning. They were in distress for their sins. The Holy Spirit was applying the biblical truth to their conscience. And now they were brought into conviction of sin. And they were crying out, what must I do? What we need today is not great powerful preachers. What we need today is the Holy Spirit to open the hearts of those to whom we preach. You can spread seed all you like on hard, stony ground. It will not bear fruit. But oh, when the Holy Spirit begins to open the hearts of sinners, and when the Holy Spirit begins to apply it, then we see one sermon can be greatly blessed. On the day of Pentecost, Peter, there were 3,000. If 3,000 turned up at my building, I wouldn't get them in the building. I wouldn't get 300 in the building. But what it would be great to see even 30 people converted in one day. How could we have that today? Because we don't have 3,000 hearing. My friend, this COVID-19 has meant that many people, many congregations are using the internet. And imagine one day when some unknown preacher preaching the living Christ, preaching the biblical truth, preaching in some backwater place. Maybe no one knows who it is. Nobody knows him. He's got a handful of people in front of him, but he's preaching live streaming now on the internet. And you get some person out there looking to do their Sunday shopping or someone looking for the football, and they land in this site, 3,000 people and one sermon, and these people can be greatly blessed. My friend, the Lord can do that even today. But are we looking for 3,000? Are we looking for 30? What a wonderful spirit Samuel Rutherford had in his day when he preached to Anworth and the Solway Firth. There are 3,000 people, 30 people. Let's listen to what was said of Samuel Rutherford. Fair Anworth, by the Solway, to me thou still art dear. E'en from the verge of heaven, I drop for thee a tear. Oh, if one soul from Anworth meet me at God's right hand, my heaven will be two heavens in Emmanuel's land. Samuel Rutherford was looking for even one soul from Anworth. Oh, that the Lord would give us even one soul, that our heaven would be two heavens. Amen. May the Lord bless these thoughts to us.